Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Last weekend, animal rights activist John Darrick made the news, which was exactly what he wanted to do, by chaining himself to a silo on a Waikato pig farm. The aim was to highlight conditions of factory-farmed pork, and on Monday, Mr. Darrick appeared in the district court in Hamilton. John Darrick joins us now. Well, John, thanks for joining us. I do like a media story that sort of wrapped up nice and quick. I saw it was on the news on Sunday that you'd climbed up there, and then on Monday you were in court.
Yeah, I think that was always going to be the way. We were expecting that I'd go up there, the farm would show up, the cops would show up, they'd try and work out how to get me down and get the fire brigade. And I was really expecting that I was probably going to be gone by lunchtime. So I was quite surprised that I was even up there until 9 o'clock at night. I was seriously prepared to stay at least overnight and possibly longer, depending on how I felt. I'd gone up with sleeping bag, roll, heaps of water, heaps of food, all that kind of stuff. So I was seriously prepared. But I wasn't expecting to have to use any of that stuff, really.
Did you always think it was going to end that way, with them cutting you down, or was there a point where you were willing to just climb down yourself and say, we've done what we needed to do?
Well, it kind of depended on circumstances. If it was a few hours in and they were talking about trying to get me down and they only had bolt cutters, then it would have been, I would have probably said, look, no, I'm going to stay here. And that, at that stage, I probably would have gone on to arrest. If it had been a day in and they'd showed up with some equipment and said, look, okay, you've had your go, we're serious about getting you down now, and will you come down voluntarily, then I probably said, yes, I've made my point and I'd be willing to do it. So it was always going to be, in an action like that, it's always, it's up to you as to what happens, and it would really depend on how I felt at the time.
Did the police treat you as a democratic protester, or were they kind to you?
It was really interesting. During the day, the cops came past every couple of hours, a marked police car and an unmarked car, and were all very nice. They were like, oh, yeah, it's fine that you're here. We can understand why you're doing it. Are you comfortable? And they kind of pretended that they didn't really care that I was there. But then at 9 o'clock at night, they showed up with half a dozen cop cars, a paddy wagon, heaps of serious equipment, and all of a sudden it was this massive operation, and they knew a lot of detail down to where the PowerPoints were and all that kind of stuff. So it was obviously that they had something going on in the background. And my opinion, and I think it's almost certain, is that the pork board were making decisions throughout the day as to how they were going to treat the situation. And by that time at night, they decided that they didn't want me up there any longer. I think a lot of the reason why they got me down at night was so that the media weren't going to be there, and they waited until the media had gone. They also parked their car with the headlights on so we couldn't film me getting brought down, and they were aware that I was going to be doing breakfast media the next day, so I think that was a serious consideration as to why they decided to get me down at that time.
Media visibility was a big part of this, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the reason why factory farming continues is because the public don't know about it and they can forget about it. So the Open Rescue, our organisation, is dedicated to bringing these issues into the limelight. So when we release footage, or in this case with this action, getting media attention and getting attention for these animals is the prime consideration. So I went into this action thinking, how can we get the most media out of it? And that's what you'll do pretty much with any action.
And you picked the location specifically for its visibility, I gather.
Yeah, it was a silo which was close to the road, which I could lock onto. It ticked all the boxes in terms of being effective for my action, but I'm a student photographer, so I thought, how am I going to frame this in terms of image, and how am I going to get the image I want out there? And in the end of the day, I got exactly the image we wanted out there, and we got footage of the farm out there. A journalist went onto the farm and took photos and video, and so we were very, very stoked with the coverage.
We saw on the media at the same time footage of the farm taken secretly at night. That was you and your group as well?
Yeah, Open Rescue, we go into farms and we take footage of these farms. So yeah, over the past couple of weeks, I've been into a bunch of farms throughout the Waikato, and I've been filming the conditions inside them under the cover of darkness.
Now, you personally are a vegan, but you're not saying that everyone should make that commitment, are you?
Yeah, my underlying belief system is that no animal should be used for their flesh or for products or things like that. But we've chosen factory farming, and I work a lot on factory farming because it's the most obvious form of animal abuse. It's something which we can get everyone to agree on, that there's absolutely no need for that. Long term, if we abolish factory farming, I honestly would move on to other issues such as dairy farming and things like that. But for the moment, my immediate focus is trying to abolish factory farming, and simply because I think that it's an issue which there's absolutely no justification for it.
And it does seem that there are commercial alternatives to factory farming are starting to flourish. Things like Freedom Farms, which is very much a business, but I've talked to people who say, yeah, there's genuine free-range farming.
Yeah, I agree. Free-range farming does have a lot of benefits for the animal welfare, but it also can be done commercially. And it isn't a huge cost difference between free-range and factory farm systems. So those kind of systems are available.
We hear a lot of times people saying, well, look, this is actually for the animal's own safety. We're talking about, say, sow crates and farrowing crates and things like that. If this doesn't happen, then they eat each other and this happens and that happens, and they're quite violent, nasty animals, if you will. How do they work on places like Freedom Farms? What's your optimal within the idea of actually still eating the animal at the end of it?
Well, I actually read an interview with somebody gone and interviewed Freedom Farms on this very issue, I think, last week. And what Freedom Farms said was that these kind of issues with aggression are a result of stress. And so if you've got stressed out animals, then they will bully each other and they will cannibalise others young and things like that. And so it's about keeping animals in conditions where they're not stressed out and where they are able to carry out their natural behaviours, which they aren't on factory farms. And it's interesting, there was a study which has come out fairly recently comparing two countries in Europe, I think Sweden and one other country. One had outlawed these kind of, I think, farrowing crates, and the other one still had them. And the levels of infant mortality on each of these pig farms in either country were exactly the same. They were very comparable. So I think these are kind of just justifications being used by factory farmers to justify practices which are cheaper for them. So I don't think that the animal welfare argument, there's no animal welfare gain that I can see in factory farming. I think that's a false argument.
Tell me about, I'm interested, we were talking about you breaking onto the farms. Tell me about that. How often do you do it? What do you do? How does it work exactly?
Well, first of all, I'd say that we didn't break in with these factory farms. We went inside and they're unlocked, and we just opened the doors and went into them. And
do you ever come across like security aspects, things like, you know, I'm thinking of these like the Aardman film Chicken Run, you know, the chickens are trying to escape and there's the farmer's dog and there's the spotlights and those sorts of things.
Yeah, some farms have a floodlight or a sensor light or something like that. But generally it's just a matter of that we walk up to the farm, literally open the drawer and just walk in and start filming. I personally haven't, I've been quite busy doing other stuff for the past year or so, it's been the past couple of weeks that I've been out in the Waikato, but animal rights activists around New Zealand are going into farms probably, I'd say, every fortnight or more often, because it's getting these footage and getting this footage out there which is really going to bring about an end to factory farming. So it's something which I'd say goes on fairly frequently.
We saw this with the Mike King thing a couple of, or a year I suppose ago now, wouldn't it have been, the Sunday article on TV1. Do you think that obviously for some reason it was the first time that it really registered in people's consciousness? Has it stuck there or has it dropped away again, do you think?
My understanding is that pork sales are down on a year ago and they're still down. And I think that the public understanding around factory farming has skyrocketed since then. I think there's really been a real shift in people's opinions around factory farming since the Mike King thing. I don't know exactly what made that so successful, but I know that's probably the most successful anti-factory farming action which has been done in New Zealand, and we're still riding the wave of publicity and awareness that's come about as a result of that.
I think media is more inclined to do a follow-up story such as what we've seen over the weekend because of that.
Yeah, and I think the framing of these issues has changed a lot. I think it's no longer, that there's not as much of a framing, these are bad activists going onto farms, and it's not as framed about the framed around the activists. I think there's a lot more focus on the animals and the suffering and acceptance that these animals are suffering. So I think the media coverage of these kinds of issues has really changed in the past year since Mike King.
Well, it's very interesting talking to you. I was going to say, it'd be interesting once you do solve this problem, once you become, as Lee said, going to the supermarket the other day, certain supermarkets, very hard to actually find battery eggs, and once you get there, I'd like to see how you go with the dairy farming one. It might be a bit of a harder battle, but good luck.
Cool, thanks for that.
And John Derrick's next court appearance is on May the 6th. We'll keep you up to date with the story. Coming up after the break, I predict we're going to be talking to psychic comedian Chris Cox, and we've got the music of Farmer Pimp.